Y'all know the name.
Another episode of the Straight Talks podcast. I'm your host Reggie. Tonight we're going to be talking about a couple of stories that are out there this past couple of weeks that have been prevalent out there. Actually, I haven't been able to do the show for a while. Real life gets in the way sometimes, but we're back now. So we're going to talk about 50 Cent. For those of you that don't know, he filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and we're going to break down the two different chapters of bankruptcy in the United States, the two major ones anyway that you hear about. Because when people hear bankruptcy, you think, oh my God, the guy has no money, but it's not the case. But we'll talk about that a little later. We're also going to talk about a couple of news items that are out there in the news right now. We spoke about violence against blacks and other ethnic groups within the United States and even in Canada. And a judgment came down this past couple of weeks, so we'll hit on that a little bit. We're also going to talk about a former NBA player. I don't know why this came to my head, but we're going to talk about a former NBA player and the struggle that he's having. But I don't feel sorry for him, but we'll get into that a little later as well. We're also going to do our weekly album review. We're going to talk about that one story that I left out, I think, of last episode that we were going to end off with, but we went too long and we couldn't fit it in. So we're going to talk about that. You're going to listen to me talk about that pretty much. But anyways, so as usual, you can get to us on the website. And yeah, I haven't been there. It's revamped. Looks nice. Go check it out. www.straighttalks.com. It's str8-talks.com. You can also get me on Twitter at Straight Talks, the @ STR, the number 8, TALKS, all one word. You can subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. There's a number of different ways you can get to us on podcatchers to subscribe. We have a forum as well. If you have any disagreements that you have with anything that I've said in previous podcasts or even this show, you can write it down there. I look at it every day, so I'll definitely get back to you if you have anything to say there. You can start topics, you can respond to other people's topics, posts, whatever. It's just a forum for like-minded people to talk to each other and, you know, put your ideas down. So you can definitely do that. And that's all on the website. You can get to that all from the website. We're going to get right into this, actually. So sit back, relax, and take in the Straight Talks. We'll be back after this.
culture from the foul way they breed us. They are such fucking leaders with no intention to free us. And if you believe in love, then imagine what the key is. The sentiment for me is simply love me.
To start off today's show, or this week's show, talking about a topic that we spoke about earlier, maybe two or three podcasts ago, where we spoke about violence in the United States against unarmed ethnic groups, we'll say. I broke down a couple of stories that were going on heavy in the minds of people in the United States, especially, well, we'll say, Black people in the United States, African Americans in the United States. But the case where Eric Garner, and if you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. I break down a couple of different, like, six or seven stories that were in a short span of time of police violence against Black people. But Eric Garner strangled in New York City for allegedly selling untaxed loose cigarettes on a corner, New York City, overzealous cop comms. Big guy. Eric Garner's a big guy. Cop realizes he's probably physically overmatched. Takes him down with a chokehold that's been illegal in the New York City Police Department for I forget how many years it was. Again, go back and listen to the show. I'd probably break it down there. But brings him down with an illegal chokehold, chokes him out. Eric Garner dies. This past couple of weeks, maybe past last week, judgment came down from court system in the United States, granting the family of Eric Garner $5.9 million. Now, there's no amount of money that can bring your dad, husband, uncle back. $5.9 million isn't a small chunk of change. But you still can't put a number on a person's life. It's all fine and dandy that they got a little bit of change. That's life-changing money for them, I'm assuming anyway. I think $5.9 million would be life-changing money for everybody who's not an athlete or a professional athlete or an entertainer. So, yeah, $6 million would be a life-changing money. But the thing that gets me about this judgment is that if you judge that the police did wrong and they have to, and the city has to pay, then someone has to be accountable for it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say, you know what, you're absolutely right. They use excessive force. We'll pay you $6 million. But the person who did it, the people that were around, no one gets in trouble. No one gets fired. No one goes to jail. No one goes on trial. It's a murder in the street, pretty much. And that's the thing that gets me again. Here we go again. The thing that gets me. Seriously, go back and listen to that. There's a lot of things that get me. I say that a lot in that show. But another thing that gets me about this. So everyone's guilty or admitting guilt in this, but nobody's guilty. The cops who were around and did it, still working. And it's a joke. It's a big freaking joke, if you ask me. But, I mean, as an ethnic group in the United States, you take what you can get, I guess. Sad to say, but what else can you do, right? I mean, I just gave you $6 million. It's true. Like I said earlier, no price on life, but at least someone admitted that they were wrong as far as the people that should have been convicted on trial and in jail are still walking the streets and were probably working for the New York State Police Department. Well, I guess you can't have it all. Another story that was in the news this past week former NBA player Frederick Weiss. And I laugh because basketball players know who this guy is, especially basketball fans know who this guy is, especially basketball fans in Toronto. And I say that because one of the, I guess, pioneers, some people would say, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know about all of that. But the guy that probably brought the Toronto Raptors on the map as far as being a team that you would want to watch if you lived in the States, Vince Carter. Vince Carter dunked on somebody in the Olympics, and it was this guy we're talking about now, Frederick Weiss, playing against, it was USA against France. This guy's 7'3", I believe. And if you haven't seen this dunk, which probably everybody has, go on YouTube and just type in Frederick Weiss, Vince Carter, or Vince Carter Olympics, France, and you'll see this dunk. Okay? It's disgusting. Rude. No manners. I don't know what was going through Vince Carter's mind to think that, yo, I'm just going to jump over this guy. Not gonna go to the side. I'm going to jump over him. 7'3", I'm going to jump over him. But anyways, first round draft pick of the New York Knicks, pick number 15, I forget what year it was. 7'3", flame out, went back to France, whatever. You know what, actually, you know what? I got a clip of the dunk. They call this thing the dunk of death. And I'm laughing. The situation is not funny, but this dunk is, you can't do anything but laugh. So it's called the dunk of death. The clip's in French, but you're going to know exactly what's happening. And the first couple of times I listened to this, I had to play it back like 10 times because I was laughing through the whole thing. Even though I don't know French that well, I could pick out a little bit of what they were saying, but oh my God. Again, the clip's in French, but you'll know exactly what's going on. Here we go.
Il fait saut de mouton, mais le mec est complètement debout, hein, il se penche pas.
Hein. Impressionnant.
Oh là 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 là. 71-54 pour les Américains, 17 points d'avance.
So that was a commentary by the French. USA versus France. Go watch the video. Kevin Garnett and his bitch ass come in trying to celebrate with Vince Carter, and he always has to have his ass in the middle of shit. So Kevin Garnett, chump of all chumps. But anyway, that's a different topic for a different day. But the reason why we're talking about this guy is because it came out, I guess, in the news that a couple of years ago, he tried to commit suicide, dealing with depression. I guess not from the dunk, I guess, but I guess being a flame out in the NBA and not making it where he should have made it, I guess, he decided to commit suicide. And the reason why I don't feel sorry for this guy, I feel sorry for him because of the depression and everything like that. That's a serious disease, I guess. But the reason why I don't feel sorry for this guy is because he has a kid and a wife. And the kid has autism, okay? And I know that's hard. That's hard on parents. I actually play soccer with a player whose kid has autism, and it's tough. I mean, you're mentally, physically drained, and you know, it's at some point you're not going to be able to take care of this kid anymore. So do you put him in a home? Do you lose him? Especially if he grows up to be the size of my friend, then there's no way anyone can control him. You know what I mean? And I'm laughing. It's not funny, but the reason why I don't feel sorry for this guy is because, you know, you have a young kid with autism, you have a wife, and you try to commit suicide. So you're going to leave your autistic child and you're going to leave your wife to take care of this kid by herself. It takes a special type of asshole to do something like that. And that's why I don't feel sorry for this guy. You can be depressed all you want, fine, but I mean, there's got to be some point in life where, you know, you have to think about other people other than yourself. I'm sure the wife doesn't want to put up with, but be in a situation with an autistic kid. But I mean, you got to provide for your kid. That's your kid. Whatever it is, you have to be there for him. And to take the easy way out, drive to a rest stop and take a whole bottle of sleeping pills and hope you don't wake up. Special type of asshole. People are swinging this like, oh, poor Frederick Weiss, but I don't know. Problems. I have problems with that. I don't rate suicide at all. Okay? Everybody's got problems. Mental disease, I get. I mean, that'll be a sad situation, but people that are functioning and just can't handle situations, committing suicide, I personally don't rate it. I'm not going to anyone's funeral commit suicide, not going to anyone's wake that commit suicide. I mean, it's the easy way out, right? Deal with it. Deal with your problems. No problem are your problems that bad you got to kill yourself over? I don't think so, but I'm one person. Maybe there's a situation out there where you know somebody that committed suicide and it was warranted. I don't know. Me personally, don't rate it. There's got to be a different solution than killing yourself. Won't get into that too tough either. Actually, we'll leave that for another topic because I got a lot of things to say about that. But we'll leave that for another day. Smart man. Very, very smart man. Or, again, like LeBron James, for all you LeBron James lovers out there, where we talked about this a couple of podcasts ago as well. 50 Cent is either a very smart man or he's got a great team behind him. Know which one I'm leaning towards. For those of you that haven't heard, 50 Cent declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy, United States of America. But again, when you hear the word bankruptcy, you're looking at this guy and he's like, oh shit, he's broke? How the hell can this guy be broke? He made this song, he made this album, he did this tour, he has headphones, vitamin water, blah 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 blah. He's at the strip clubs, money and cars and this, that, and he's broke. What a jackass. Not the case. I got a clip to play a little bit later in this discussion, I guess, that explains the two different types of bankruptcies that we know about, Chapter 7 and Chapter 11. You'll hear the definitions in the clip, but it's really quick, 2 minute, 3 minute clip. But for those of you out there that think 50 Cent is broke, you gotta wake up. There's certain situations going on in 50 Cent's life right now that he needs protection from. And he said it on Conan, I believe. He was on Conan a couple of weeks back, and he was like, yeah, man, I filed bankruptcy because I need protection from people. They see you making all this money. All of a sudden, you got a bullseye on your back, and you're the easy mark, and I'm gonna run into you, fall down, break my arm, and now I want $10 million. And what do you do with that? So, Chapter 11 bankruptcy allows you some time to reorganize your assets and reorganize your financials to pay down some of your creditors. Okay? And that time that they allow you to do that, I believe is up to 4 years. So what 50 Cent is doing right now, actually, you know what? Let me just play the clip. The clip will explain everything and we'll talk about it after the clip.
Chapter 11 allows for the reorganization of funds, personal assets, and debts. What most people think of when hearing bankruptcy is actually Chapter 7. Chapter 7, referred to as straight bankruptcy, is the most common form of bankruptcy. It's when a business or individual is in major debt without the money to pay, ultimately resulting in liquidation. In other words, Chapter 7 is that real shit, that take the crib and the car life, that MC Hammer shit. Chapter 7 will fuck your entire life up. As you may know, this has been the case for several entertainers, but that's not what we're talking about today. 50 Cent's Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing is actually more strategy than struggle. This Chapter 11 reorganization allows the debtor, Mr. Curtis Jackson, to come up with a plan for paying his debt. It's the go-to move for anyone with debt above $390,000. In this instance, the debt is in the form of a $5 million lawsuit issued by Lestonia Leviston, the mother of Rick Ross' kid. She's suing Fifth for leaking her sex tape online back in 2009, which he did, in order to take a jab at his longstanding rival, Rick Ross. And that's pretty f***ed up. So, 50's filing gives him time to come up with a plan to pay what he owes, as opposed to forking over the tremendous sum all at once. Speaking with Variety, 50's lawyer William A. Brewer III explained, "This filing for personal bankruptcy protection permits Mr. Jackson to continue his involvement with various business interests and continue his work as an entertainer, while he pursues an orderly reorganization of his financial affairs. With that, he's allowed anywhere between 90 and 120 days before submitting his plan. Between now and then, no one can come after him trying to make him fork over assets or cash." The restructuring plan takes almost 2 years to be approved. So, if you're a creditor and you're sitting out there, you're waiting 8 months to a year, 16 months to get paid. And in that plan, you might think, well, you know what? 50 owes $2 million. I'll take $500,000 now. That might be the same thing with the judgment. So in addition to providing between 3 and 4 months to come up with a plan, it could take 2 additional years for that plan to get the green light. In this specific instance, it's not a creditor that's waiting on the cash. It's Rosé's baby's mom. See the strategy? Griggs further illustrates, if you have a young lady who's been awarded $5 million and now her attorneys are billing her, he may want to milk that out a little bit. So, 50's decision to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in this case allows him, at the very least, the ability to prolong Levinson's payday. Meanwhile, she's potentially being hit up for lawyer fees. Fees that I imagine would be rather hefty considering the high-profile nature of this case. If she owes money to her legal team, or really has a need for cash in any capacity, she and her team may return to the table with a request for a smaller amount in an attempt to expedite the process.
Right. So is 50 Cent really broke? Doubt it. 50 Cent just doesn't want to pay. He ain't broke, just doesn't want to pay you. And I get it. 100% get it. If you had that financial capacity, you would do the same thing too. And if you wouldn't, you're stupid. But you file Chapter 11 bankruptcy and creditors can't call you for 2 years. They can't bother you for 2 years. Now it's not only that young lady that he owes $5 million to, which is probably going to get settled for less than $1 million, I guarantee you. And we'll take that clip of me saying that, and we'll come back later when it comes down. Like the guy said in the clip, he's probably going to end up paying her $500,000 out of the $5 million. If that. Because like he said, she's being billed by her lawyers. And the longer this goes on, the more bills are getting higher. So that $5 million that looked great in 2015 doesn't look so great in 2019. Because I owe, you know what I mean, $3 million in lawyer fees. You know, but whatever. Good for her, I guess, but 50 Cent owes a lot of other people as well. But these, to us, regular people out there, big debt. For him, maybe not so much. He owes $137,000 to Bentley, which you could probably pay them. I don't know why he doesn't, but. And $64,000 to American Express. a couple of court judgments, everything equals about $23 million. That's a lot of, change. Even if you have $100 million, giving away $23 million is a lot of money. So file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. You get the creditors can get what they can get. Anything lower than your actual debt is a win for you. If you owe $23 million and you only have to pay out 10, sucks, but it's better than 23. And that's the way 50 Cent's looking at this, and his legal team and lawyers and accountants are looking at this. And it's the time that it takes. I don't know how the justice system, you know, came up with this, with all these number of years and stipulations and all this to get this thing done. It must have been for the rich white folks in the United States. Because nobody, who can wait? If you're a little company like, if you're a company like Bentley or American Express, you could probably wait for your hundred and whatever dollars. But who really wants to put all the lawyer fees into collecting $64,000? Like, how much do you have? You have 20,000? Okay, give me 20,000. Fuck, it's enough. And we'll close it. You can't use American Express anymore. Big deal. Or like this guy said, the chick. It's like, you owe me $5 million. Oh my God. How long is this going to take? Okay, give me a million. I'm not going to give you a million. I'll give you half a million. I'll give you half a million cash right now. What's she going to say? No? The hood rat from, sorry, the young lady from wherever she's from, she's going to say no to $500,000? Anyways. Brilliant strategy by 50 Cent and his team of experts. I'm never going to give any credit to anybody for coming up with plans like this, because it's your team of accountants and lawyers that are coming up with this, that you pay them so much money to do. Never give anybody credit for that, any superstar credit for that, because they're not taking care of their own shit. LeBron James is on a banana boat with Dwayne Wade and who? Carmelo Anthony in the Dominican, and Gabriel Union in the Dominican. He ain't looking over his financial portfolio. So stop the rubbish. And I keep bringing it back to LeBron, because the LeBron haters are out there, they're burning themselves right now. This guy's a fucking idiot. He hates LeBron. Again, not going to get into that again. Trust me. Until next basketball season. Speaking of basketball, though. And we're going to finish off with the 50 Cent. It's a big issue, because you hear, the news headline is LeBron James is 50 Cent went broke. He's bankrupt. You're like, 50 Cent bankrupt? How's that possible? And when you really look deeper into it, he ain't bankrupt, man. He ain't bankrupt. He's smart. Anyways, getting back into the NBA, we're actually going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, maybe the next episode. I'm probably going to have another guest on. We're going to talk about this. The way the NBA is going on right now, I would not be surprised if in 2 to 3 years, an NBA team is bankrupt, or files for bankruptcy, I should say. The way it's going on right now, it's crazy. If the NBA and the NCAA wants to keep student athletes in school for a certain amount of years, whether it be 2, 3, whatever, they're going to have to come up with a rule, and they're going to have to enforce that rule, because there is no blinking way on the face of this earth, with all the money that's in the NBA, that players aren't just going to be one and dones left, right, and center. You'd be stupid not to be a one and done if you are a elite basketball player. If you're a Karl Anthony Towns, a Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell, whoever, one and done, have to be. You have to get out. You have to make that money. The amount of money that these teams are flinging around for guys that would just be regular basketball players on a basketball team is crazy. The NBA is crazy. And I know the salary cap's going up. And I know they just signed a whatever billion-dollar deal for the TV rights for the NBA. But still, if you're playing in a league where Amir Johnson's making $15 million a year, there's a problem. If you're playing in a league where a man like Reggie Jackson is making that much money as well, more than that, there's a problem. Where Damari Carroll is making $15 million, he's the highest paid player on a basketball team, there's a problem. So Damari Carroll's making $15 million a year. And then for those of you guys that don't watch basketball like the rest of us do, you'll be like, who? Exactly. Toronto Raptors are paying this guy $15 million to play basketball. So you got two stars on your team right now. You got DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's making $12 million a year. He's supposedly the pit bull, the heart and soul of the team. And DeMar DeRozan, the former All-Star, is making $10 million a year. So when their contracts come up, what the hell are you going to pay them? It's tough to even believe DeMar DeRozan's making $10 million. Kyle Lowry's making $12 million. Tough to believe, but they are, and it is what it is. But if you're paying Damari Carroll $15 million, when DeRozan's contract comes out, what are we talking about? $20 million for DeMar DeRozan? It can't keep going like this. It can't keep going like this. There's not that many teams that are like the Toronto Raptors, where they're bankrolled by Toronto Maple Leaf money. The Milwaukee Bucks can't do this. Pistons can't do this. Actually, they did, but you're going to have almost three max players on this basketball team, and they're rubbish players. I shouldn't say rubbish. But they're not anywhere near max players. LeBron James is making $20 million. Damari Carroll's making $15 million. Something wrong here. Something wrong here. No problem with LeBron James making as much as he can. Face of the league, face of his team, puts the team on his back, does whatever he's got to do. Kobe, same way. Melo, same way. But you're paying Amir Johnson $15 million. The Celtics are paying him $15 million a year. Amir Johnson. he's an 8 and 10 guy. $15 million. I don't know, man. Telling you, 2 to 3 years, you're going to hear so-and-so team bankrupt, for sale. And it shouldn't be in this league. Not in the NBA. It shouldn't be. And you got to overpay players to come play with you if you want to be successful in free agency or successful in the league. You got to overpay. I have to overpay. The days of people saying, you know what, the days of the Dwayne Wade days, I call them, where, you know what, I'll take a pay cut to win a championship. Bring LeBron, bring Chris Bosh. I'll sit over here. I'll make $8 million a year. Pay those guys what they need to pay to get here, and we'll win championships. That's fine. Those days are done now. Everybody wants their money. And the kids from the university see this, and they're just like, well, what the hell am I going to go to my psychology class tomorrow when I can come out and make my rookie salary? And then by the time my rookie contract's up, I should be worth $12 million. If I play well, I should be worth about $12 million. Why am I going to stay in school? Why am I going to go to my women's studies class? I'm one and done. See ya. It's going to be tough to keep these kids in school with this money floating around. But we're going to talk about that actually for a good 40, 45 minutes next show, next episode. Trying to get a guest lined up. He's actually a teacher in the Toronto area. So he'll give us some insight on what the kids are thinking or what they see and the obstacles that the money that the NBA is flinging around, and the NFL as well too, but more the NBA, because we don't really, here in Canada, we don't really put out that many NFL caliber football players, but we're starting to become a basketball factory here in Canada for the NBA. So, oh, and another player that came back, Corey Joseph came back to the Raptors. He's making $10 million a year. It's a four-year, $40 million contract. He's made Corey Joseph, backup point guard for the San Antonio Spurs for the last, I don't know, 4 years. Comes back to Toronto, he's making $10 million a year. So your backcourt, your backup point guard, and your starting point guard, are one's making $12 million, other's making $10 million. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I wish I was a little bit taller, man. Tell you that. Moving on. Right now, we're going to get into album review. Running through the six. Album review, we're going to be discussing an album called The Night Took Us In Like Family. It's by a rapper named Jeremiah J and a producer named Lorange. For those of you that listen to previous podcasts, know I speak about Lorange, who runs with the Mellow Music Group, makes the beats for them. All his beats are dark. All his beats are, dirty. But they incorporate old school type of, not old school in the sense of old school hip hop or anything like that, but old school in the sense of radio drama. And when I say radio drama, I mean back in the days, in the early days before TV, televisions, when people would gather around the radio and listen to Dragnet or listen to Broadway's My Beat over the radio and listen to that radio drama. He takes chops from that and makes beats out of them. It's very interesting. I think I can't remember the podcast I talked. We talked about Lorange and his beat making ability. Go back and listen to them all if you don't remember. I don't remember either. So we're gonna get into this album review real quick. Four of the best tracks that I picked off the album. Once again, the name of the rapper is Jeremiah J, and the album name is "The Night Took Us In Like Family." We're going to start off with the first track off the album. Well, actually, it's the second track off the album. Sorry, it's the fourth track off the album, and it's called Underworld. So have a listen to this.
Yeah. You see that? Stand up in the sky.
Some call it the powers of angels or devils.
Hey, who the devil are you anyway?
Superstitious fear in the underworld by means of his magician's tricks.
Sometimes I feel like the world is going under. Sky full of clouds, all I hear is thunder. Sometimes I feel like somebody's always watching, waiting for the fall, any chance they can hop in. Come and dip with me in the night, baby. Sometimes life gets crazy. You know what holds you down, baby, give you solace. Coming rob off flights. And OG told me nothing's ever promised. Shit can get grimy, nigga. You don't want no problems. Just watch your back, cause somebody's always watching. Put on a mask up on a bike, call me Robin. I'm from a place similar to Gotham. Out in the street, you can catch me on the cottage when the semis explode. Hide your son and your daughter. Shoot out tires, drive your truck in the water. No survivors, fire rama. She wanna dip with the llama. But disrespect the God, meet the Rama. Sometimes I feel like the world's going under.
So you can tell just by the beats how different, and the samples that he uses, and like I was telling you about the old school radio drama type flows. All of his intros incorporate that. So if you're not into that stuff, or if you haven't really heard, there's a number of different podcasts you can subscribe to. I used to listen to all of that. My sister put me onto it when I was younger, like 7 years old. She would listen to it, so it got me into it. And I'm the age I am now, and I'm still listening to it. I subscribe to different podcasts. And when I had Sirius Radio in my car, there was a station dedicated to radio drama. And I had that was on play all the time. All the time. But anyways, getting into the songs. Just the delivery by Jeremiah J, just a dirty, slow, down-tempo type of flow, which is different from what we're used to on the radio. Everybody wants a fast beat, dance around and stuff like that. But for the heads that just want to, chill out, listen to some good music, this is a pretty good album to listen to. That song was called The Underworld, produced by Lorange. All these songs are produced by Lorange, but yeah, I enjoyed this album. Even though it's not a club banger or anything like that, I enjoyed the album. Next song we're going to review is called All I Need. It's number 5 off the album, and it features Gift of Gab. So here we go.
What's this?
What?
In your pocket, that bulge.
Stay out of my pocket.
Harry, it feels like a gun.
The sanity of a brilliant mind is not measured by ordinary standards.
Where is it coming from? Everybody's here. Where is the money coming from?
Who are you?
Squad nigga.
Never mind who I am. Come on.
Big bills with a house on a hill, flower rooms, color gazelles, all materials, minerals, colorful stones, sage cover the home to lay up in the zone and chill. No stress every day, get a check, make a colorful meal to feel zeal, stay true to the real. Breathe deep, find peace in the self, and a pistol to pill. All love in a bitch with no frills, no ills. Roll round in the four wheel, God's will. Lay back in a force field, nigga chill. I need the red pill and a fresh deal before I S ill. Need a sick feel. Plenty henchmen, no penny pension. Simmies with the clip in, 50s and a big quilt. Yeah, that's all I need.
That's the plan, man. You use that's the plan, man. You use that's the plan, man. You use to
all. So that song's called All I Need, featuring the Gift of Gab, who was actually the first verse in that song. More up-tempo, probably one of the most up-tempo beats on the whole album. But, yeah, I like that track as well. He actually used a sample from another song that I liked from him that he made. If you go back and listen to other tracks that he's created, you'll probably hear little snippets of that beat inside this beat. But I don't mind guys using samples like that, because these samples are crazy. I mean, you're never going to find anyone that's going to be using samples like this. Kanye West isn't using samples like these. Pharrell's not using samples like these. You know what I mean? He's going out and getting obscure stuff. You'll never get it. So, that song is called All I Need. Jeremiah J featuring Gift of Gab, produced by Mirage. Third song we're going to review is called The Lineup. It's number 11 off the album. The Night Took Us In Like Family. Let's go.
The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, this way, boys. Move it up to the end of the stage. That's it. Keep it moving. Move it. All right, now turn and face front. Hands to your sides. Look straight ahead.
In the lineup, time's up. Nigga snitch. Pour the wine up. Last supper to take a hit. Now the time up. Locked down without a fifth. Eyewitness on the stand, case dismissed. Any weather with the back speeding. Getting cheddar from the last season. Big wins, I don't break even. Fast lane, I don't break neither. Back in the armory. Sean Connery honestly can't fuck with me. Obviously we sick in the head. 10 grams of medicine straight to the head. Kept the spear like K-Fed. Now I'm aiming with the crossbow off with his head. Run the jewels in the pro kids. You wanna run from the man for the street cred. Yeah. In the lineup, time's up. Nigga snitch. Pour the wine up. Last supper to take a hit.
I actually had to put that song in there because I actually listened to that radio drama called The Lineup. I subscribed to that one, so I had to put that one in there. The intro sample is actually the intro from the actual radio show, so it's pretty cool. Again, dirty, down-tempo type of beat. I mean, it's really like if you think you're gonna go down this Young Street on a nice summer day, Caravana, cranking this, you might not. It's not that up tempo, but like if you wanted just a chill, good lyrics, nice beat, album to listen to, this is the one for you. Last song we're gonna review is called Death Valley, and here we go.
You'll find me. You can't hide from anybody like me. You'll find you're dead if you don't do as you're told.
Wait all night if necessary.
Yahweh, give me sight. Lost tribe in the night. Clyde with the barrel.
So that's a song called Death Valley. That's the last track we're going to review. You can hear the beats are different. You know, if you're looking for a different type of hip-hop vibe, definitely pick this album up. And pick up most of the stuff by LaRange, because he comes with different type of beats. And the guys that rap over his beats, lyricists. So I think you'll enjoy those type of albums. Jeremiah J's from Chicago. Used to run with the Brain Feeder group. Put out a bunch of different mixtapes. If you just search, Google search his name, you'll come up with a bunch of different mixtapes. Personally, this is the first time I'd ever heard of him. I was just looking up more stuff by LaRange, and this guy came up with a new album, so I took a listen to it, enjoyed it, so bought it as well. So go out and check out his other stuff as well. I mean, I'm not here preaching to you about hip-hop like I'm the know-all, be-all of hip-hop, but go out and get some of his stuff. Some of the people that he runs with is going to lead you to other hip-hop artists that you haven't heard of. Like LaRange led me to, I can't even remember. Rapper Big Pooh put out a song with somebody, which led me to Mellow Music Group, which led me to Red Pill, which led me to this guy. So, I mean, it's just like a circle or a straight line, depending on how far you want to go into it. So definitely take a look at LaRange, start there, see who he's done the songs with, and then you'll just expand your hip-hop, your hip-hop knowledge, we'll say. He runs with cats like Gift of Gab and Homeboy Sandman. Homeboy Sandman, I hadn't heard of him until I ran into Jeremiah J as well. So we might review his mixtape maybe down the road a couple of weeks from now. But I already have the next three set up, so, and I'm sure you're going to find them interesting as well. So once again, the album's called The Night Took Us In Like Family. It's by Jeremiah J and LaRange. J spelled J-A-E. Just reviewed the four songs that I liked off the album, and definitely have a listen to that. Running through the six. So in the final segment of this podcast episode, we're going to talk about an incident that happened in London, Ontario. For those of you that don't live in Ontario, it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Toronto. And, I mean, it's just where we are in society these days. It's just like some things aren't worth your life, and this is one of those stories. 18-year-old kid, at my age, an 18-year-old is still a kid, named Jeremy Cook, went out for a night with his friends, took a cab somewhere, left his phone in a cab. I guess whoever went into the cab next found the phone and took the phone. He had Jeremy, the cook, the 18-year-old, had one of those apps that tracks your phone. As long as the GPS is on, it'll tell you exactly where your phone is, just in case you lose it. So, gets on his computer and he tracks his phone. He finds it, and I'm going to start naming off names of cities. If you're not from Ontario, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. But for those that are, it was in Brampton. So London to Brampton's not too far. So got one of his relatives to come with him. Has the laptop tracking tablet tracking the phone. Make sure that they're going to the right place and that it's not on the move. So they get to a parking lot of a place and they track it within a couple of feet of a car. Three kids sitting in a car. Guy goes up to the window and says, "Hey, I think one of you guys has my phone." "No, we don't have it. But my app says that it's like right here. So one of you guys has my phone." "No, we don't have it. Get lost. And I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly what they said. Obviously, I wasn't there, but this is what the story was relayed to me. And the guys in the car tried to pull off. So when they tried to close the door, the young man Jeremy Cook tried to stop them from closing it. And at that point, one of the patrons in the car pulled out a gun and shot him. And they said multiple times, and they peeled off. Now, iPhone 5. I mean, I know they're expensive, but is your life worth an iPhone 5? If somebody took my phone, honestly, if someone, and I have one of those apps on my phone. Pretty big guy myself, but I'm not, if someone finds my phone and I can track it, I'm not going to get it. Just because of a story like this. And even before the story came out, I'm still not going to go get it. Even if it turns into a fist fight, I don't want it. I'm too on in my ears to be fighting over cell phones. I mean, $300, $400 cell phone worth your life? Doubt it. Doubt it. Now, people are saying, yeah, well, he had all the pictures and videos, and he was not a photographer. He would make YouTube videos and then with his phone and upload them, and they were all on the phone. I'm like, yeah, but still. Okay, and there's so many apps out there that you can back up your phone to your computer wirelessly over Wi-Fi. You don't even have to plug it in. I use an app. I forget the name of it. It goes directly into my Dropbox account. I have a folder in there called Phone Backup, and my contacts, pictures, videos, call logs, everything is backed up into that one folder in my Dropbox every night at 2:00 in the morning. So if I lose my phone, great, you have my phone. You can put it on Kijiji and make yourself $200. But at least I have all my contacts. And I have an app on my computer that can also wipe out my phone. So when I send, I think I send my phone a text message from my computer, it wipes all the data that's on my phone. So you can't see my contacts. It's this factory refresh. And then you can, and then they can sell it for $200 or whatever the hell it is on Kijiji. And if I saw someone selling the same phone that I just lost on Kijiji, I'm still not, still not contacting them. These kids are crazy out here. Everybody has a gun. I shouldn't say everybody, but you'd be surprised. I went to get an oil change today, and there's two doors to go into the place. And After the oil, I went in through the garage though. So after the end of the oil change, I was like, okay. So I was going out the front door. He goes, oh, yo, that door's locked. I said, okay. So I went to the other door at the back there. No, that door's locked too. Like, man, why are you locking all the doors for? He goes, yo, these kids are crazy out here. These kids are crazy out here. And I was like, wow, that's serious. And he's like, yeah, you have no idea, man. You have no idea. At the end of the day, man, you just people walk in, they won't leave. You know what they're here for, but. And I'm like, yo, that's serious out here. So for all of you people that are out there that have cell phones, everybody has a smartphone right at this time right now. And if it's your life, like I know people that those things are surgically attached to their hands. They can't breathe without the phone being in their hand. Make sure you have an app that backs up your data. So that if you don't have your phone or you lose your phone, you're not ass out. Like if I lost all my contacts and call logs with my business and what I do for work and business and all that stuff, I'd be freaking lost. I'd have to wait for someone to call me back in order to get their phone number. I mean, friends of mine, close friends of mine, whatever, girls, whatever, I know their phone numbers. I can call them from a landline, no problem. I know the number, but guys that I, people I talk to maybe once every 2 months, I don't know your number. I don't have your emails in my phone, your address is in my phone. You know what I mean? But all that stuff's backed up. Every morning at 2:00 in the morning, that backs up onto my computer. So if I lose my phone, I can just get another phone, plug it into my computer, and bring everything back. And if this guy had done that, I don't know if he had done a backup like that, but if he had done that, I don't think anybody would be chasing after an iPhone 5. Driving from London to Brampton to get it. I definitely wouldn't be. And the funny thing is, not funny, but strange thing is, he went with a relative of his. Like, I hope the relative was older. If the relative was older than him, I mean, you should be sitting down saying, listen, man, it's really not worth going to get. It's really not worth going to get. Now, if he's young, if the relative's younger, maybe a cousin or a brother or whatever, and he's younger, maybe he can't tell you. But if you're 20, 25, 30 even, you should be telling him, look, man, honestly, here, I'll give you $200 to go put towards a new phone. Don't even worry about that phone. But the way the story was relayed to me, I guarantee that he didn't have a backup of all this stuff. And like I said, he was a YouTube performer, so he probably had all his videos and all his pictures and things like that on his phone, and he hadn't done a backup. And I mean, honestly, if I was in that situation with the way that I'm living with my phone right now and I didn't have a backup of anything, I might be tempted to go get my phone. But as it stands right now and how I have it set up right now, yo, you can have it. You can have it. If it means that much to you to steal it from me, you can have it. I actually did leave my phone in a cab once. We were out club hopping, and I guess it had fallen out of my pocket, and somebody found it. And I must have called this phone about, well, I must have called my phone from my friend's phone about 100 times in 5 minutes. No one was picking up. So we were trying to figure out what cab company it is, but it's like New York here in Toronto. There's a green cab, there's a red cab, a yellow cab, an orange cab. Like, which cab were we in? What color was it? I don't know. Just stood on the side of the road and flagged the cab down. It came and we got in. Black cab, white and green cab. Like, who knows? So you can't call the cab company. So after a while, somebody picks up my phone. I say, hey, man. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, I'm doing okay, man. Yeah, that's my phone you got there. Oh, yeah. We found it in a cab. I go, dude, seriously, it's my work phone. I need it back, please. He was like, sure. We're at so-and-so club. Just happened to be about two doors away from where we were. So I was with about six or seven guys, and we all went over there. And, you know, I called the phone when we got in there, because I didn't know what he looked like, obviously. He called the phone when we got in there. He answered the phone. We went up there and said, hey, man, that's my phone, please. I mean, I don't want any trouble. Just please. It's my work phone. I got to pay for it if I don't get it back. He's like, yeah, sure, here. So I bought him a shot, bought him a Heineken, and left. So that worked out for me. That worked out. But I was younger then, too, and plus I had seven or eight guys with me. So, I mean, if anything really did happen, backative, right? But looking back at it now, and this is about this is a long time ago, it's before my BlackBerry, this is about 10 years ago. But looking back on it now, I don't think I would have done it. 10, 1200 guys, I don't think I would have done it. You know, but whatever. So let that be a lesson to all of y'all, man. Back up your phones. Life's not worth an iPhone 5, a Samsung Note 2, a Samsung whatever. iPhone 6 Plus. It's not worth it. I know they're expensive, but it's not worth it. It's not worth having mommy and daddy crying over you because of a cell phone. That's for damn sure. But anyways. Oh, well, actually, before I finish, that story came to a close. And it's, and like I said, kids out here are crazy. These guys drove, the guys who shot the kid actually drove to Ottawa, which is about 4 hours away from where they shot the kid from. And their pictures were up everywhere. Everyone was looking for this guy, and everybody, the police put out his name, so everybody knew him. And he was trying to escape through Ottawa. So a couple of the police officers on bikes saw him and started chasing him, and he tried to run them over with his car. You see what's going on here. Kids are crazy. So he gets out of the car and he starts running, and he tries to swim across, the Rideau Canal. In the wintertime, everybody skates on it and things like that. But it's choppy. Can't swim across that. I don't care who you are. Can't swim across that. So he ended up drowning. And cops were chasing him, and he jumped in and tried to swim across it, and He ended up drowning, and the police just pulled his body out, I think, a couple of days ago. What's today? Today's Wednesday. Maybe Monday. They pulled his body out of the canal. So that came out to a happy ending. Well, maybe not for the family. You'd like to see this guy suffer a little bit, but maybe for the rest of us that this kid's off the streets. He's from Calgary anyway, so he wasn't even from Toronto. But yeah, so sad, sad, sad situation for the Jeremy and the Cook family. Condolences to them. But at least you know the killer is off the streets and, you know, hopefully in a worse place. That being said, I'm going to end off the podcast with that. Again, get at us on the website, www.straighttalks.com, STR, the number 8 hyphen TALKS.com, at Straight Talks, STR, the number 8 TALKS, all one word, Twitter, number of different podcatchers. If you go to the website and subscribe page, you can see all the different podcatchers you can use to get our podcast subscription. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. You can subscribe via email. Straight Talks has a form. You can put, if you have anything that you want to add to anything that I've said, or, you know, disagree with anything I've said about the Knicks pick and or this, that, or any topic that we've discussed in previous podcasts, put it all down there. I look at it every day. I respond to everything, so. Tangeray Chronicles Volume 2 is also available now. So if you have Volume 1 and you were waiting for Volume 2, it's out there for download or stream. Go to the website. Should be the next the episode or the posting underneath this one. So go there, have a listen. House music. I think I'm gonna do a reggae one next month, and then a hip hop one after that. So all old school type of stuff. So stay tuned for that. Well, another episode down, episode 20 down. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Y'all know the name.
Nasty, right? I cocked that joint back and banged on him.